You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What you need to know is being brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Michael Thompson is in.
Yeah.
Beto Duran is
in. Let's go.
By the way, you guys will find this interesting. We were talking about Muhammad Ali earlier. Our man Sedano continues his long extended vacation from Miami to Kentucky, lands in Louisville, and posts a picture on Instagram of the Muhammad Ali Airport.
Nice. What's
I didn't know it was even called that.
What's he doing in Louisville?
Bourbon.
He's going on some kind of a Kentucky bourbon tour, yeah.
Oh.
It's nice. Really nice. Pretty cool if I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Never been. Never been for a bourbon tour.
I think I've tasted bourbon once. I'm not a bourbon guy.
No.
Are you a bourbon guy, girl,
no.
Laura?
Mm. I'm a liquor girl, so I'm
good.
Damn! She don't care.
The rum you brought, though, was amazing. I still have some.
That sugar cane rum from the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that was
so
smooth.
Good.
What do you...
So good.
Go ahead, Cap. I'm sorry. We'll get into Michael.
No, you don't have to worry about it. Let's get over to Lindsay Baseball. Double H is standing by. She's got what we need to know.
So what you need to know right now is that Dustin May is inching towards the finish line and his long-awaited comeback at the major league level. He will make one final rehab start with AAA Oklahoma City on Sunday before he re-enters the Dodgers starting rotation. May made his fifth rehab outing yesterday, and he threw 68 pitches with 8 strikeouts across 5 innings, and he's going to continue building up his workload Sunday before he returns to the Dodgers. Assuming he avoids any setbacks, he is set to make his season debut next weekend against the Marlins. So that's what you need to know right now. Dustin May coming back soon.
Ooh, that's a big story.
Those Dodgers, man, I don't know who's – I mean, I know there's some good competition out there, but, boy, they're healthy. I don't know who's going to beat them in October.
But Michael, think about this. You've told the story about Father's Day and, you know, Clay winning the title.
Yeah.
And the day you get the call from Trey saying, Dad, I've been traded. To who? The Dodgers. Where are you going? What AAA team are you going to? No, I'm going to L.A. I'm coming back home.
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing for the Dodgers. I had no idea that he was going to turn into this sort of a role player who's been making this kind of contribution. I don't know if you did. I mean, I've read a lot of stuff that he's talked about having to go back and watch all of his swings and watch his most successful stuff, and there was a lot of things that happened during COVID. But to have him back home and to have the Dodgers playing the way they are, on fire, unstoppable, and to have a kid who's on this team contributing, man, can't even imagine what this is like.
Yeah, it's surreal. It's like a dream come true. It's everything you can imagine. As a chance, God willing, everybody stays healthy. I could be going to another parade in November when the Dodgers are celebrating another championship, and it's possible that strong possibility that could happen. And now, then I'll have my 10th ring.
You claim your kids' rings?
Of course. I got two. See, I got nine. I'm two away. I'll be one away from Bill Russell.
Michael.
I got two as a player, three as an announcer. That's five. Four as a dad, and then of course my fifth one is a dad if Trace and the Dodgers can pull it off.
MT, do you wear like a Trace Thompson button when you go to Dodger Stadium, like
no.
the little league parents?
No,
that's
Trace
cool.
wouldn't let
cool.
me. I wanted to get a Trace Thompson jersey. I do have Trace Thompson Dodger jerseys, and I said, Trace, I got this jersey. I actually ordered them, right?
No
I got
way.
Them.
You did not spend money.
Yeah, I spent money.
Wow.
I got some made up, and I got some Thompson jerseys made up. And I said, Trace, I'm going to wear this again. He said, you better not.
That's adorable that you do
no,
that.
Listen.
Why would he say no?
I asked him, I said, why not? Trace, he said, that's corny. He said, you're a dad. You're not supposed to
no,
do that.
No, that's not true. It's that's cute. Adorable. I
no,
think you should
hey,
do it.
I'm right there with Trace. Well, yeah, you can't do
Laura,
that.
Laura, you think that's corny?
I know. I think it's cute, but I understand why he's like, they say it's bad juju when the parents.
Really?
Here's why it's corny. Here's why it's corny.
I think it's cute, though.
Here's why it's corny. Because this is a world champion athlete right here.
True.
Right? So I think that's where Trace is coming from. Like, Dad, act like you've been
no,
there. You know better.
I see other
I
family members with their...
No, I'm saying this is where Trace is coming from.
But on the contrary, he's also Michael Thompson. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he's his brother. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you are clear to do it. And even if your son doesn't want you to, I feel like, you know, you could sneak it on.
The thing is, he doesn't mind if his brothers wear the jersey. He doesn't want me
to
wear
it. Oh, yeah. That's,
yeah,
that's,
because
that's
you're the
ridiculous.
Dad. Now, you guys...
That's ridiculous.
I've told the story many times, and this is some of the best advice I've ever gotten as a parent. Michael Thompson, before I even knew him, I was myself and Frank Bertelsen, it might have been like 2006. Your boys were in high school, Santa Margarita.
Right.
We're doing the Ocean View High School Tournament for a company called Footage. Jim Hefner was our producer. Anyway, he's a big shot at Fox now. So I'm calling these games, and I look up in the corner, and I have Trace Thompson and Klay Thompson on the court. I think James Harden was on afterwards. And who's in the corner of this gym at Ocean View High in Huntington Beach? Michael Thompson with the little tiny camcorder. Imagine Michael's big paw. He's holding the camcorder from like Sam Goody or right. I mean, Best Buy or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Buy.
And you're in the corner, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go talk to Michael because he's going to say hi to his kids. And you didn't. As soon as the game's over, you left and you went outside of the gym. And years later, I asked you, Michael, why do you do that? You said, because that's the time for the kids to be a kid. You talk to them at home. Never talk to them about their game afterwards. You go home, let them be a kid. You're a dad. It's not your moment. I always remember this. I had the same thing with my son Mateo. Now that he's playing, where I don't talk to him until we get home.
Yeah.
And it's just, I've always remembered that. And you were so cute in that corner, Michael, where you would just stand there because you're 6'10",
right.
And you're in the corner and you're like holding the camcorder, yeah. Like, yay, team. Like
exactly. And I wanted to sit away from everybody, Laura. And
that too. I learned that too from Michael told me, sit away from parents because parents are crazy.
Yeah, they talk too much. And I just want to sit there and watch the game or film the game. I don't want to be talking and missing stuff.
You're a perfect parent.
Yeah.
He is.
They got coaches. So I let the coaches coach them. They had good coaches, so they didn't need my interference.
You know, you
got
to do what my dad used to do at games when I played soccer. He'd sit in the corner with his cigar so nobody bothered him.
That's what I do for my daughter's team, the Slammers in Whittier, what do? I sit in the corner with my cooler, and the parents always thought I was drinking water.
Yeah.
Nah, man, I'm getting loaded, bro.
Yeah, but you can smoke a cigar outside. You can't do that in the gym.
I should do that, man. Keep the people away.
Yeah.
All right, what you need to know is being brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. I tweeted it just a few minutes ago. Michael's in studio. Beto's in studio. I said the show's going to go off the rails. Forget about it, man. The show is already off the rails. I love it. It's a perfect
way
to spend a day.
You're missing out not being here, Cappy.
I know. And listen, I would have come up, but I'll tell you this. And Michael, since we're having a lot of heart-to-hearts here, it seems like, this afternoon. This week, I got two daughters that are taking off for college. One who's going back to Boise State and one who is leaving to go to Tulane as a freshman.
Damn, you're broke.
So, oh, dude, you don't, Beto, you don't even understand.
Ooh, you use the Laura voice. Mm.
Man, I'm telling you right now, I try and have one job per every child that I have. So I got four kids. I try to have four jobs. Right now I'm down a job. I got more kids than I have jobs. But I'm telling you, I wish I could have come up this week, but I got too much going on this week. I got to get two girls off to college by Saturday. Mm-hmm.
So Lindy and I don't get it.
What part?
Because I paid my way through school. My parents,
same.
Like, mm-hmm. barely helped.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. I do not understand.
I don't
this
have
concept.
Loans either.
Yeah, like, same with me. No student
concept?
Debt whatsoever. The idea of parents feeling the need to pay for their kids for college.
Absolutely, that's what you
now
do.
Now wait a second. Did
really?
Did I say that I was paying for my kids to go to college?
Well, you were talking
you just
about
said
how broke
you have no
you
money.
Are. Well, that's one would assume that's what you're paying for, right?
Well, I mean, listen, you got three kids currently in college right now, and no matter how much you're paying for that college, no matter how much student financial aid you're eligible for or whatever, no matter what kind of scholarships your kids might get, there are still expenses that are associated with your kids being away at school.
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to come and get you no matter what.
Right. And so...
My kid's going to college next year. I'm already getting ready.
Yeah.
Damn.
Lindsay,
that's just crazy.
Lindsay, how did you guys, like... avoid a like big student debt.
I worked five jobs.
Oh, you worked all the jobs.
And
I literally never slept. I would work at a golf course driving the beverage cart. I'd get there at 5-6 in the morning. I'd leave there
That's
at
great.
Like noon, 1 o'clock. I'd go to the
public
ballpark.
School?
Yes.
Public,
okay.
Yeah,
public school
same.
Also.
Public school. Yeah.
I'd leave at noon.
Cappy's kids are going out
private.
Of state and private.
Yeah,
so
that's why I didn't go out of state.
No, actually,
I will admit.
Tulane is the big one. This is the problem. Boise State's no big deal.
Out of state tuition.
Yeah, my
state,
but
I mean,
yeah,
I went to Akron and that was not that expensive, but I still paid for it all myself.
Yeah. No, listen, my kids all work. They work through school.
They work their way through.
Then you ain't that broke.
Yeah, we were very fortunate because all my boys got full
scholarships. How everybody counts everybody else's bank accounts, man. Yeah.
No. My question was just, I said to Laura back here, I said, it blows my mind that, like, it's so common. I feel like it's so commonplace that parents nowadays are just, like, assumed, like, oh, I got to pay for my kids' college. Because, like, even, like, Sedano says, like, oh, yeah, I've got my kids' college fund.
Yeah, so do
and
I.
And my sister has one
as
for her
kid. As soon as Mateo was born, the 529 was open.
Yeah, and, like, my sister has one for her son. And it's just, like, my parents... Like, you know, I know there was the recession in 2008 and everything, but still, like, I feel like that's just crazy concept to me that, like, people, I don't know.
Well, then who's going
to
pay for it?
Well, but Lindsay,
you're,
if that, you can.
So I'm saying, I paid for it myself.
Yeah, but yeah. Lindsay, if you're a parent and you're capable of
exactly.
paying
well,
for it.
Well, that's different, yeah.
Then you want to do it. Listen, you don't understand how much
I'm
it
not
costs
capable,
for my
but I'm
kid
do
to
it.
Go for my
that
kid
better
to
be
Tulane,
listening, too.
You don't understand how expensive it is for this kid to go to Tulane. And thankfully, about 70-ish percent of it was financial aid and scholarships and so on. But what it leaves is a lot of money that still needs to be paid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't want my child to be saddled with student debt as soon as she gets done with school. But that is going to be an unfortunate reality. You know, and we've talked a lot about what is a student loan? How does it get paid when you're done? When does it have to be paid back? Does an employer help you pay it in certain instances?
No, it never gets paid.
Well, or and then is the government going to forgive some of it? So it's, believe me when I tell you, it's extremely complicated.
It's stressful.
It is when you got this many kids. But getting these two girls off and out of college, you guys don't understand. It's the emotional part of it.
No,
it's
they're not your baby girls. Like, I was just, because look, like, I'm one of six kids, right? And I was the first one to graduate. I was, like, not because I'm the oldest. I was just the first one to graduate high school. I was the first one to, like, my parents really had to think about, like, oh, ish, this one is really going to go off and pursue some type of education. So I don't think they were ready for that. So I had to go ahead and, you know, I lived at home. So that was my that was their financial contribution, where I just paid a little bit of bills, but they never really helped me. And if they did help me with books or whatever, I would always pay them back. Yeah. I was like, oh, thanks. Here's the money that you owed. Like, you helped pay for that book. So that's why I was like, I'm with Lindsay, like, where it was like, whoa, that's crazy that parents.
Yeah, but it's generational now too, Laura, because you were first generation. So now when you have your kids, you're going to be paying for your kids.
No kids.
Would you recommend every kid should think the way you and Lindsay do? Go out and work for it.
I think it's a combination. It's different. You know, it is different because, like, for Beth, like Bethel making a point where it is the first gen thing. Like, I have my goddaughter. I don't have kids, but like I tell my sister, you know, she has six kids, and I'm like, yo, how are you going to pay for their school? And because her oldest is about to go to, she's a senior. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, we're looking at this, we're looking at that. And, you know, dad's going to be involved. And I'm like, dude, no. Like, she's, you know, 17. She could start working. She could start saving. She's like, but I don't want my kid working.
But it also depends on the kid. Yeah. You know, like, today, my son's first day of school, senior year. And Mateo, who wants to play in college, he's probably going to be a Division II-III kid. And I know there's going to be some loans involved.
Baseball or basketball?
Basketball.
Basketball.
So, and we got to figure out what he's going to do. But for us and our family, we all went to junior college. Like, out of high school, I thought I wanted to go to Boston University. Then one of my siblings was like, what do you want to major in? I was like, I don't know. Well, then you're going to go to El Camino, right? You got to figure out what you're going to do. And it's up to every kid to see what you want to do. But when he was born, the 529 account started.
Where does Mateo want to go?
He likes the Boston area, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, like Tufts.
Those are expensive schools back there.
Yeah, but also really looking at this, Michael. Some of the most successful people, we're paying for access, right? We're paying for networking.
Beto,
we're paying for
exactly
what are you
going
to do with the rest of your life.
You are exactly right.
Because when
right.
you work in this business, I don't meet anybody that went to El Camino College or Dominguez Hills in this network.
But you're exactly
you're paying
right.
for networking.
I don't want if my daughter was able to get herself into Tulane, I know that 20 years later, she will benefit from the people that she met and who she was around at that school. You guys are all talking about
this. She's going to call Andrew Freeman and say, hey, we're both Green Wave, right?
How about that? I don't know. Is that what
why
they are?
Why did she
the
choose Tulane and all these colleges?
Get Michael, let me tell you something. Got into every school she applied to. Washington, Michigan, Wisconsin, you name it. The two schools she did not get into, only two, UCLA and Cal Berkeley. Because as much as everybody complains about how UCLA is leaving for the Big Ten and they're leaving behind Cal Berkeley and they're doing it for the money, of course they're doing it for the money. Same reason that all these schools will have more out-of-state kids rather than the in-state kids who are actually qualified.
Exactly.
And so, and it really is very frustrating because this kid should be going to UCLA or Cal Berkeley and I should be paying like practically nothing. And instead, we're going to go broke going to Tulane.
Well, like, for example, Mateo wants to go to University of San Diego. That's his dream school, right. Down the Toreros, right? Go see. Mm-hmm. We're going to call Steve Lavin. Mm. All right? He can go to USD and sit on the bench there, or he can go to a D2, D3 and play.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? Like, it's just a matter of access and resources, what you're going to have. You got to figure out what kind of kid. Now, if Mateo was a lazy bum, this fool's getting nothing out of me. Mm-hmm. Like, he's never had a real job because I tell him, you want to train. If you want to be a college athlete, you have to train. You have to put in the work. And you have to get the good grades.
Yeah.
Like, he told me the other day, I'll pay you back. I'm like, don't pay me back. Pay it forward.
Right.
Like, my job as a parent is to make it better than I have.
Yeah, kids don't owe us nothing because we're supposed to take care of
it. Exactly. And because you want to. Like, again, if he was a punk kid who had like a 2.0, there's no way he has a car. No way I'm paying for car insurance. Right. I'm not doing all this. Yeah. Because I see the work that he puts in, and he appreciates it. So it depends on who you have. Like, if there's a kid who's like, I want to go to Harvard, am I really going to tell him no? Yeah. Right?
Right. You're going to find a way.
You're going to find
exactly
a way.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
This is
I'm
what parents
what?
Do.
Gonna
find
a way.
That's
it.
With Clay, you wanted him to SC. You want him to UCLA. Yeah. They said no. You found him at Washington State. Right. You're going to find a way to get things done.
Yeah, and Lindsay and Laura, you guys may feel differently when you have kids, seriously. Because I think everything that Beto's just saying about like kids, wanting to do more for your kids. Like for me, I was the first person in my family to go to college, and if it wasn't for a football scholarship, I would never have gone to school the way I did. My parents never paid a dollar for anything.
I think it's beautiful. Like, don't get me wrong. I think it's awesome. And like I said, I have a goddaughter and I have a bank account for her. You know what I mean? So I get that much. I just, and again, it has a lot to do with the generational thing.
Yeah. You know, believe me, Mattel's application is going to say, did your parents graduate college? No, I didn't. I did not finish school. He is a first generation kid.
Well, you know, all this talk about money and schools. Think about this. Let's get to this USC story. Michael, we promoted this. You ready?
Yeah.
You could be a wide receiver at USC and make $3 million a year, but there's something that's brewing between the way USC wants it done in-house versus the way the big money boosters want to do it outside of the house. We'll get to that story coming up. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, it's Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. It's Wednesday afternoon. All Michael right, Thompson is in studio.
You know Duran Duran because he's
in. Beto's in studio.
By primos.
Are you the third most famous Duran in the world? It's Roberto Duran, Duran Duran, and Beto Duran.
Nah, I'm the second.
You're second?
Yeah.
Well, ahead of which Duran?
Duran Duran.
Yeah. Right. I don't know, man. Duran Duran still brings it. I saw him a couple years ago.
Wait, you haven't walked the street with me, man. I bring it.
Well, I have walked the street with you, and I saw you bring it.
Yeah, uh-huh, exactly.
And you brought it.
Uh-huh.
And you brought the rest of us with you on our taco tour. Michael, did you hear about our taco tour a few weeks ago?
Yeah, that was cool.
You ever want to come with us?
Nope.
Why not?
Listen, man, when I get down to Orange County, San Clemente area, Dana Point, Capistrano Beach, the only reason why I leave the house is, well, for two reasons. Go to the store or go to Laker games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which means he's going to eat or he's going to get paid.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell Michael. Homebody. Michael, I'm playing at, or Mateo's playing at Ladera Ranch, right around the corner from your house. Have fun.
Yeah.
Like, can I come to your house? Nope.
No.
You want to come to the game? Nope.
Yeah. Let me know how I go. You can come over. You know, you can come over for, you know, but after an hour, it's time to go.
I love that, Michael.
After the cigar's done, you got to go.
Let's have a drink. Let's reminisce a little bit, but have a cigar. But okay.
Timer's up, bro. Yeah.
Do you have an hourglass, Michael? When somebody comes into your house, you turn it upside down. You're like, all right, when the hourglass is done, that's you're right, out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah, Michael, you can come over, but when you ring the gate, no answer.
I love all you guys. You guys are great. Going out to dinner. Oh, I love going. That's one of my favorite things I'd like to do is go. Just let's go meet at Fleming's or Morton's, have a nice dinner. But after like an hour and a half, 2 hours, okay, see you later.
Gotcha. Well, happy Duran Duran Appreciation Day, everybody.
I am becoming you, Michael, believe it or not.
And he's real about that. When I flew to, where was it, Chicago, they thought I was going to go see the Lakers play over there. And John Ireland and Michael were like, yo, let's meet up here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, the Lakers are not playing. They're like, oh, but when you are in town, we got you.
Oh, yeah.
They're for real about
Definitely.
It.
Of course.
You know, the last conversation that we were having, I'm surprised at how much reaction it's bringing in the community of people talking about paying for their own school or their parents paying for it or how they got through school. You know, we were talking about this, and I'll tell you guys, last year, this is an interesting thing. My daughter called me from Boise State. It was her first semester there. And she said, Dad, I got a job. And I said, okay, great. What's the deal? And she said, well, they're going to pay me $11 an hour. And I said, okay. And she said, that's minimum wage here in Idaho. I said, oh, wow, $11 an hour. She said, yeah, but they're going to return $2,700 of tuition because I'm going to be working for the school. And I said, okay, well, what are you doing for the school? She said, well, I'm working in janitorial services. And I said, what does that mean? She goes, well, it means that I'm going to be the janitor. And I'm thinking to myself, my daughter is going to say to me, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be the janitor. My daughter's like, yeah, it's no big deal. It's no problem. She was at night, literally from like 8 p.m. till midnight, going into the basketball offices, the football offices, the locker rooms. Everywhere she went, she just was there with a crew of kids, and they were cleaning the locker rooms, and they got paid $11 an hour and $2,700 off their tuition. I would never have thought that my kid would be like, yeah, I'll do that, but... Hey, she toughed it out because she thought $2,700 is a lot of money.
Because she's away from home. That's another reason I want my kid to be gone. Yeah. Because I never left. So I'm still at home. I ain't going nowhere, bro. I'm back with Esperanza, right? Hanging out. But I want him to go away and learn what it's like to deal with adversity where, yeah, you can call. I'll give you some advice. But fool, you better suck it up. You better make things happen for yourself. That's the part of the growing up.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
your daughter's got some good work ethic there, boy.
Well, I was in because I listen. Believe me, my
great
other
job,
daughter,
Cap.
My
great
other
job.
Daughter would be like this. I'm not doing that.
Well,
my
other daughter, because of you, Cap.
Yeah, my other daughter was like, I'm not doing that. But I was pretty surprised though, you know, that she was willing to do it, especially because she was just coming, instead of going to Boise State to play soccer, because during COVID, I'm sure you guys are well aware of this. So many kids got extra years of eligibility that teams had too many kids on them. Because kids were sticking around for extra eligibility. Yeah. So the soccer coach at Boise is like, we have no room for this child. And I was like, okay, well, then she's not going to go be the custodian and the janitor in the athletic department. She sucked it up, no problem. Made that money, got that $2,700 back. And
boom.
I was really impressed with that.
Speaking of making money, tell us about this USC thing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so this USC thing is crazy. Beto and I were talking about it before we got on the air today. So USC, apparently, I mean, look, they understand the game now of NIL. They understand that major market and the move to the Big Ten and the history and tradition of USC, kids still want to play there. But if a kid has more money on the line at Texas A&M, like, Beto, you and I were talking about that quarterback from Los Alamitos. That kid was taking a visit down to Texas A&M. He'd already been committed to USC, but Texas A&M gives a lot of money.
Yeah, Malachi Nelson, who at Los Alamitos High is committed, verbally committed to USC, and he decided to take a trip to Texas A&M because the boosters down there said, hey, come check out what we got.
Right.
There's another offer.
I love it.
So here's the story. So USC has their own, like, NIL division, if you will. They've got their own organization that's going to be,
name, image, likeness, where high school kids or kids in college can now make money for their name, image, and likeness.
Right. So USC's got their own in-house group. That would be a smart thing to do. They've created a company, and this is going to facilitate everything that they're going to do with NIL. But on the other hand, there are apparently some USC football fans / donors who are big money people, and they're putting together their own deal over here. And what the company that they want to put together is a 501c3 charitable organization, and they want to pay every USC football player, as long as they're registered in classes and eligible to play ball, they want to pay these kids, and they're saying, well, they're going to do community service, and they're going to make sure that they're doing well in school. But it's going to have nothing to do with the school itself or the athletic department. So is that a good thing that a bunch of rich boosters are going to create their own separate entity to pay USC football players? Is that a good deal?
What will they have to do for this money? Make appearances?
Okay, so what happens is, so you have the school, USC has Boulevard, BLVD. Which is their NIL, but it's for all USC students that are student athletes, correct? So it's through the USC, and they're going to raise money. So if you want to say, I'm going to donate, say, $100,000, the USC portion is going to say, okay, great, Michael, from $50,000, you want it for football, great. The other $50,000, we're going to do what we want to do with it. Mm-hmm. This other entity is going to create a nonprofit, and they're going to be able to control what they want the entire time.
Yeah.
So these are from the story that's in the LA Times, they're boosters. They have fallen out of favor with USC because they didn't like the direction where it was going. And also, they didn't have a voice in it. So what they've done is create a nonprofit, and they said that these players, I don't think it's just limited to football, it's limited to all student athletes, can now come out and do community service, and for that, they can gain a salary.
Here's what the LA Times
But we don't
today.
Know exactly what the details
but
are going to
be. Let me tell you this.
But USC doesn't like that there's an outside group involved.
Right, right. Well, here's how the LA Times reports it today. Details regarding how payments will be distributed to the players have yet to be finalized, but their intent is to have an equivalent of a base salary for every member of USC's football team who is academically eligible, and to receive those payments, players would perform community service and take part in charitable work with local organizations. So imagine this. A bunch of rich boosters are going to essentially create a nonprofit company, and they're going to be hiring USC football players, assuming they're academically eligible and they have to do community service. And for that, they get a base salary. So, but it's going to have nothing to do with USC. Is this good, bad? Is it complicated? Is it potential trouble? It just doesn't sound kosher.
Another chance for you to make money. Now, if you you had three highly recruited kids. If you're going and there's a chance to make extra money, what are you looking at?
Make the money, man. This is capitalism. See, this is the open market. This is free market. Let the market decide. Don't count other people's money. If someone's willing to pay you for legitimate reasons, nothing underhanded or illegal, I got no problems with anybody making as much money as they can.
Yeah, I can't say I do either. I can't, but it just sounds complicated, though, doesn't it? Like if USC has their version, but a bunch of rich boosters have their other version.
Well,
and it has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
The fact that they're going nonprofit, I mean, they got some great lawyers to figure some things out.
Yeah.
Some great tax lawyers that figure some things out.
On the up and up, kids ain't doing nothing illegal. Go and make the money if you can make it. But man, that's young men or young ladies, so I got no problems with it.
If the salary is $100,000 to be a crossing guard for one morning on a Saturday?
Exactly. So be it. What are they paying Lincoln Riley, like $10 million a year? Come on.
But Scott, this is what you have to do. And I think, I mean, I don't know if this is a result of Texas A&M asking Malachi Nelson to come check out school again.
Mm-hmm.
But you know school like Texas A&M, like Texas, like Miami, they're going to go and create different ways to get these kids. What, Michael, what kid from, say, let's say your kid's from Santa Margarita, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a chance to go to USC or Waco, Texas and check out Baylor.
Yeah.
You want to go to USC.
Yeah, you would think you'd be at home. It's a prestigious school. Baylor's a nice school.
And then Baylor's going to say, hey, you have a chance to make this kind of money over here.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to make $100,000 at USC? Come over here. We'll give you $500. Well, have fun in Waco.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That easy.
$500,000. You got to go where the money's at.
You're still going to get a good education. You're still going to get be able to play your sport and get scouted by the pros. Yeah, go where the money's at. Now,
and you're still going to be able to transfer every year because somebody else is going to pay you more money?
Now,
if the
kid comes to me and says, you know what, Dad, I'd rather stay in, I'd rather still go to USC. I say, well, that's fine, too. If you're willing to turn the money down because you'd be happier someplace else.
Of course.
Go to a school you want to go to. But if you want to go, you think you'll be happy at Waco or you'd rather stay at SC or UCLA and still make a lot of money, then it's up to you.
It's just fascinating, Scott, how everything has just gone upside down.
Oh, dude.
It's about
on
time.
Its head in so quickly.
And just think.
It's the Wild West right now, Michael.
By the way, have they given Reggie Bush his Heisman back
yet?
Right?
I mean, can we do that? Can we get Reggie his Heisman back? Can he be reaccepted into the USC family?
And
I mean,
now,
my goodness.
Now everybody's getting a house.
Exactly.
No matter what. Like, okay.
Should have always been this way since I was in college.
Because everybody that lives in Hawaii just wants to go to Tuscaloosa. They just want to move to Tuscaloosa, right?
Think about how stupid it used to be. Back when I played in college, and even until recently, if some booster took you out to dinner, you could lose your scholarship.
You're getting big trouble.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
In America? We're gonna operate under those kind of rules.
What about Ohio State and the tattoos?
Oh, that's right.
So ridiculous.
Right. When that was, what was the quarterback's name? Pryor.
Terrell Pryor.
Who traded all of his gear, like his rings and his jackets.
No, he gave some jerseys away for some free tattoos.
Exactly.
Like, come on.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
But now, Scott, if you have a kid who's a 5-star quarterback, you are calling the shot.
Yes, as you should be.
As a 17-year-old for major universities.
You could be a 12-year-old actor or actress, so good, but yet you can bet millions of dollars with some guy who plays a sport, can't make his money off his name and likeness. Come on.
Look at the recruiting here in Southern California, Scott. SC with Lincoln Riley, right? You have all these quarterbacks. There's so many different quarterback gurus out here training these kids from fourth grade and on up. Kids are saying, nah, I'm going to go to Tennessee.
Right.
I'm going to Texas A&M. I'm going to Oklahoma. Where's UCLA in this?
Well, they could be there too. Why not?
Well, especially with the Big Ten.
They
got to get in the game. All right, hold on for 1 second because coming up next is Radio Tinder. Beto's in. Michael Thompson is in. And I'll ask everybody, if your vehicle is due for service? Well, if it is, head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to a dirty waiting room. At Valvoline, you stay in your car while the expert technicians make sure that your ride is in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up, drive in, drive out. It's 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Radio Tinder with MT and Beto next on Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think this is my fault. I think I picked this slow-ass song.
Yes, you did.
But isn't it Radio Tinder time?
What is this?
Great timing, Cappy. Pick some MJ slow jams.
Yeah, but I didn't pick when to
play
it.
You pick the songs, Cap?
Well, yeah. You know, today we were talking about this whole Michael Jackson.
Okay, you honor him with one or two songs. The whole show?
It's okay. It's okay. We're just
picked a couple of songs, you know? Just picked a couple of songs here.
Don't you realize how big Michael Jackson is? Have you ever heard of Michael Jackson?
Well, why are you going to play this song then?
Well, he has a wide range of skills.
Right.
Not
yeah, way to slow down the traffic right now.
Well, let's get to Radio
You're
Tinder.
On the 405, Michael, on LX, and you hear this.
Super excited to do Radio Tinder. Thanks, Christopher. Super excited for Radio Tinder. Unlike the really sad, slow Michael Jackson song. I mean, it's a good song and all, but, you know.
Michael's looking at you like, what's going on?
Kind of a mood killer. Yeah, Michael missed the whole really excited thing with Chris Morales, but I always get really excited for Radio Tinder and for Big Deal or No Deal, so super excited. So yeah, I'm excited to tell you guys that Shohei Ohtani continues to make history, surprise, surprise, this time accomplishing something that hasn't been done in the major leagues in over 100 years. After the two-way sensation from Japan picked up his 10th pitching win of the season last night, he joined the late, great Babe Ruth as the only MLB players ever to throw for 10 wins and hit at least 10 home runs in one season.
Yeah, but Babe's wasn't legit.
Okay, well, that's a discussion for another time.
It wasn't. That wasn't legit baseball back
I know, Michael,
then.
I know. Okay,
no Latinos, play no blacks, no Asians.
Play along, Michael, play along.
So even more, it makes it even more impressive, right?
Yeah, right, because he's doing it in an all-inclusive league.
Exactly. So Babe Ruth did it way back in 1918, when things weren't fair.
Yeah.
So since it's been a whole century since it happened, and given everything that Michael said, do you think that anyone else will ever achieve this feat again? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe right. And say yes. I think somebody will accomplish this feat again.
In your lifetime?
Yeah.
Well, why come we don't see some young kid in high school start doing what he's doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I think, Michael. And I know, you know, as a baseball dad, you know, you were around it for a long time. I know I was forever. I was around a lot of travel baseball. I just think that there are so many kids that are really great pitchers and also really great hitters. But what happens is they're in high school and the coach says, you're the shortstop and you're a hitter. We can't use you a pitcher. Or you're a pitcher only now, so we've taken the bat out of your hand. Yep. I think Ohtani is showing everybody that if you're a great shortstop and a great hitter, but you're also a great pitcher, why can't you pitch and hit? And I just think in the next 20 to 25 years, we're going to see more Ohtanis in Major League Baseball. It's just my opinion.
It kind of reminds me of what we'll see a whole lot of Tiger Woods on the PGA Tour now because look what he's doing. No, I don't know. Maybe you're right. I mean, there are a lot of kids. We've seen kids growing up as we watch Little League Baseball, and the best athlete is usually the pitcher and the shortstop.
Right.
And you're right, he can do both. And as they get older, they start specializing these kids. Well, you got to do one or the other. But you're right. It is time now for these kids to realize that Shohei Ohtani can do it, and I've got those kind of skills. He's got to continue to pursue both skills too. I agree with you.
Where am I swiping if I don't
see? So I was going to say, Michael, is that a swipe left or a swipe right then?
So right is what you agree with,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I'll go right on that. Somebody's going to come along in the next 10 years and say, if he can do it, I want to continue to do it too. And like I said, anything that happened before Jackie Robinson doesn't count in baseball. As far as I'm concerned.
I'm going to swipe left. It's not happening. The reason being that with the specialization, with so many parents saying, oh, no, don't let my kid pitch now, or don't do this, don't do that. Parents in the United States are way too involved. And if there's going to be somewhere, it's going to be from a different country. Mm-hmm. Because daddy ball that happens in the United States with the travel ball, Scott, you've seen this. Michael, you've seen this, where my kid needs to be doing this. My kid needs to be doing that. And you're going to try to make some things happen. And look, it's a freak of nature what Shohei Ohtani is doing at the rate that he's doing, the ability to hit the way he does. And usually in the United States, when you have the best ability to do something, you get one spot, you specialize, and they say, you know what? You're going to make millions as a pitcher. You're going to do this. But a lot of the pitchers, they come up as the shortstop or as the catcher. They're not pitching the entire time because a lot of the kids in travel ball that are pitching way too much. And next thing you know, they're having Tommy John in high school and they're blown out.
Like whichever one of those skills that a kid develops first, they're going to say that's what you need to hone in on.
Exactly.
Yeah, but like I'll just give you guys an example. I had a kid who I watched his kid's little league career and his high school career, and he got drafted in the first round by Tampa Bay last year. Shortstop, hitter, and was the best pitcher on his high school baseball team. They drafted him and said, well, we're drafting him as a shortstop, but we kind of have a backup plan that he'll pitch if for some reason he's not a good enough hitter. Kid's killing it in single A this year as a 19-year-old kid, but he could have pitched also, but they didn't want him to pitch yet, and he didn't want to pitch. All I'm saying is that the best travel ball players, the best high school players, and the best college players, there are plenty of guys who can pitch and hit, but they take the bat out of their hand or they take the ball out of their hand. I think Ohtani is showing everybody it's okay to be able to do both, and I think there'll be other kids in the future that can.
You know, and I get this text from Erasmo Ramirez, coach at Segerstrom High School, listening right now.
Played What's up,
for
coach?
He played for the Rangers. He was a reliever. Absolutely correct. Keep on preaching. There we go. Michael, he agrees with you.
Good.
Henry Ramirez, boxing trainer who used to train Chris Arreola, Josecito Lopez. MT is right. Bleepity bleep bleep bleep, those dads.
Exactly.
All right, well, speaking of dads.
Yeah, keep going, Lindsay.
Drake's dad probably didn't expect to get roasted for getting a tattoo of his famous son's face on his arm all the way back in 2017. But that's exactly what happened on Monday when Drake himself posted a photo of his dad, Dennis Graham's ink. And again, the ink is of Drake himself's face. So the photo that Drake posted on Instagram shows his dad's upper right arm and the portrait of a young stubble-faced Drake, which is kind of like lacking in proportions, and I guess it's not the best artwork, for lack of a better term. And Drake posted the pic, like I said, on Instagram, along with the caption tagging his dad, "I was just sitting here thinking, why you do me like this, family?" And a lot of people were responding to this with all their jokes, the crying emoji, everything. Everyone went crazy with it on social media. So if your kid became as famous as Drake, would you ever get a tattoo of their face on you? Swipe left or swipe right? Beto, you go first.
Swipe left, no. As I tell my kid, you better not get a tattoo.
I like that.
There's no need for that. I like to use the line of, you don't put a bumper sticker on a Ferrari. So, no. But if I did have an opportunity to do that, hell no, I'm not doing that.
You wouldn't put Mateo's face on your shoulder?
No, I'm not.
Michael, do you have any tattoos of your children on your body?
No, I don't have any tattoos. I wouldn't do it, but if someone said you have to get a tattoo, I would do that. Put tattoos on my, if they could draw enough a good enough likeness of them, put them on my shoulder, my three boys. So that's the only kind of tattoo I would get.
Do it, Michael. Get all three boys on your chest right there.
No, if I was
with a lion coming out.
I don't see anything wrong with Drake's dad doing that to honor his son or because shows he loves it. So there's nothing wrong with that at all. So
I wouldn't do it, but it's cool if you do that.
I feel the same way. Like, I don't have any tattoos, and I don't want any tattoos, but I actually kind of feel like Drake's dad, I kind of think it's pretty cool. Yeah. Like, my son became a big superstar, and, you know, I want everybody to know that he's my son, so here it is.
Yes,
and by the way, I'm looking on Drake's Instagram. He seems to have tattoos of people all over his
body. He does, but the funny thing is he's Drake's dad, and he got a horrible tattoo. Like, the tattoo itself is not good.
That's even more endearing. That means he went to, like, his homie or something.
He said he tried 14 times to get it fixed, and it caused a lot of pain, and it still looks the way that it looks. So.
Well, then there's no excuse for that. If you went to your drunk homie in the backyard with a needle and a pen, then you're all right.
Dude, tattoos, I will tell you guys, my daughter turned 18, and she came home. And she had this little tattoo behind her ear, like a little teeny tiny thing. I couldn't see it, but I was pissed. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want you making decisions that are going to impact you for the rest of your life when you're 18 years old. And now there's like four or five little teeny tiny tattoos all on the body that you can't see them anywhere. But it just irritates me that she did this.
Yeah,
it's funny. It's funny that you say that, though, Kat, because one of my family friends just took his daughter for her graduation present. She's not even 18 yet. She's 17. Took her to get her first tattoo. And it's a complete opposite of you. So I think that's funny. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Michael.
No, I know people who love tattoos. They do the same thing.
I just don't get the young kids getting the neck tattoos.
Yeah, me either. Lindsay and Laura, you guys into tattoos?
On other people? Yeah.
Oh, on you guys?
No.
I have two.
You have two?
I have two tattoos. I don't think I would get more. I think some people could rock them. Mm-hmm. Their art, if they're done right.
Yeah.
But I'm not into the face, neck, anything like that.
It works on The Rock. That's about it.
Yeah, all I know is that people who have face tattoos and you guys know who you are, I'm very afraid of you people.
Yeah, I tell my sons, don't get tattoos. I mean, if you want to get
them. Do they have any?
No, they don't have any. I'm proud of the fact that the three of my boys
that's
don't have
crazy.
Any tattoos.
Especially, I feel like NBA players, like yeah. that's such a common thing yeah. for them to have tattoos.
Exactly. You guys remember who the first NBA player was who started covering himself with tattoos?
Dennis Rodman?
Yeah, good job. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Rodman was the first guy to start doing it.
Yeah, and everyone thought he was crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so last one here. Back to baseball. It's not uncommon for a baseball player to have his helmet fall off while he's running the bases. But last night, Pittsburgh Pirates infielder Rodolfo Castro lost something else on the base paths. In the top of the fourth inning against the Diamondbacks, Castro went from first to third base on a single by O'Neill Cruz. And as he slid head first in the third, Castro's cell phone fell out of his back pocket. After being hilariously alerted of the dropped phone by the umpire, he picked it up and gave it to his third base coach. He said later, after the game, that he just completely forgot that it was in his pocket. So a lot of people now are saying, well, there's all kinds of rules about technology and phones and watches and stuff like that. So do you guys think that MLB should fine him for what happened?
Yeah.
Just to teach him a lesson, swipe left or swipe right.
Yeah, that was I saw that. And I say, what is if I was his manager, I'm going, what are you doing? We got a game here. Were you on your phone?
Right.
I mean, how do you forget that the phone's in your back pocket?
About,
aren't you sitting on it?
Talk about unprofessional.
First of all,
you don't think that's a big deal, Beto?
It's hilarious. Swipe right. He should be fine. But also, let's get this right. Let's put this in perspective right now. What team is he on?
Pittsburgh.
Pirates.
44-66, 16 and a half games out of first place.
That's probably why.
Also, hey.
He's on Tinder during the game.
Okay. Yes. All right. Late middle of the innings, right? He's on the road. Hey, the what's up group chat must be on fire. Or maybe he's watching a novella. You might want to check that out. Or you're right. He's looking for something to do that night, you know? And the phone, this day and age, isn't that big. You just put it in the back pocket. It's terrible. It's a terrible look. But, you know, it's...
You saw when he tried to give it to his third base coach.
I don't want to touch it.
Like, what are you doing?
I'm swiping left, though.
I don't think he should be fine. He's a kid who just got called up from the minor leagues. So it's not like he's got, like, big money, number one.
Why is his phone in his pocket in the dugout?
I have no idea.
He's trying to get it in.
No idea. Maybe he's going to
Tuesday
take
night, MT.
He's going to tweet out. He's going to tweet selfies like, I'm in the clubhouse.
No, he's not doing it. He's being incognito.
He's like, hashtag first MLB game, big leaguer.
Cap, isn't that part of being a professional, being mature and putting that kind of stuff away?
Yes, and you know what? He's a kid who got called up from the minor leagues who – obviously made a huge mistake.
Ain't no kid. He's a grown man.
Yeah, acts like you've been there.
He's a professional.
I mean, come on. 22, 23.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Kids.
The day that's you not, sign your contract, you should know better.
That's not even tolerable in high school baseball.
It's not tolerable anywhere.
Yeah. What are you doing, Cap?
I'm not saying it's tolerable. I'm saying I don't think he should be fined. That's all.
Fine him, of course.
Of course you got to fine him. I'd suspend him for
tough.
A game.
No, that's a lack of respect. You're also having a communication factor. What if he's watching the game and he's picking up stuff, right? Did we not have a cheating scandal recently, Cap?
So you think he was cheating?
On somebody.
He could be. I mean, there was that whole thing with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Apple Watches. That's why it's a big deal.
All right. Yeah, well, listen, I just don't think he should be fined. I think it was like a stupid thing that a kid does, you know?
No, he ain't no kid. He's a grown man.
What if he was stealing signs with that phone or something, you know?
Yeah. That's what happened. That's what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing in last place.
You never know.
Somebody who's 19, 20, 21 ain't no kid, Kaplan.
You're a pro. The day you sign that contract.
My son's 22, and I really think he's like a little kid still. I mean, I look at kids that are 22, 23, and I'm like, you know what? That's still kind of a little kid.
If he broke the law, he ain't going to juvenile hall.
If I'm paying to watch you, you ain't a little kid. You're a pro.
That's right.
Wow. All right. You guys are tough, man. What can I tell you? I'm
soft.
You're
a pro.
Soft, Captain.
As Joan Rivers would say, grow up.
Charmin.
All right, coming up, Michael Thompson earlier today.
Wait, hold on. Is Michael still you're staying or you got
to
leave?
Don't go anywhere because I need to talk to you about something.
8 o'clock. Then they got, like you said, they got to go through customs.
You good, Michael.
Let's go to Fleming's at 7. I'll buy, Michael.
No, you're not going to buy.
Yes, I'm going to buy. Cap,
no,
I need $40
not.
Bucks.
Oh, don't start this again.
That's for the appetizer.
Yeah, exactly. Watch your weight.
Cap's buying everyone drinks.
All right, hold on. Because Michael Thompson earlier today on Mason and Ireland hosted Game of Games, and his game was about HBO's series Hard Knocks, which the first episode came out last night. I want to get to that. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. It's Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Oh, snap. Oh, there you go.
See? Feel me?
Oh, you don't need, you didn't pick this song, man.
No, I didn't pick this song. But I did say earlier in the day, I said, listen, today, Run DMC released their debut single, It's Like That, back in 1983. When I was a bar mitzvah boy, I'll have you know, Beto Duran.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I like this jam right here.
Of course you do. But there's no way you chose this song.
All right, well, I'll have to disagree. Linz? I don't know if I chose it. It's, it just happens to be 1983.
Michael, you know, Run DMC? Did you see them in New York?
I never saw them live, but I was a big fan of their music. Which one of them is dead?
Neither of them. They're both alive, aren't they?
I thought one of them died.
No, I think...
No. I think there's three of them. There's three of them, Reverend Run, and then there's Simmons, Russell... There's, you know, not Russell Simmons. He's not in Run DMC.
I think one of them did die.
The Jam Master Jay...
That's the one who died.
Yeah.
He was killed.
Oh, really?
I think so.
He's murdered?
I think so. I could be wrong. Hold on.
Wow. He's the better of the best. Best believe he's the baddest. Perfect time to come around. A lot of guts when he cuts. Girls move their butts. His name is Jay.
Yeah. So he was murdered, and they still haven't solved it.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, that's a good documentary. We were just talking about documentaries. That's a good one. Like, I think it's called, like, Who Killed Jam Master Jay? It's really? Crazy.
What happened to the Beastie Boys?
There's still, well, one of them actually just died recently from cancer.
Oh, damn.
Like,
right.
This past year.
Which guy was that?
I think not Adam Yount, the other
was it
one.
Mike D?
Let me look.
All these guys are dying, and Keith Richards still alive.
What? I know, right? Hey. We were talking about that the other day, and they
keep
were like,
"Keep on partying, bro! Don't
guys,
be a quitter! Don't
yeah,
be a quitter!"
Yeah, they're still rockers. Like, and I was just like,
I mean, this guy, nobody did more drugs and smokes more cigarettes than Keith Richards, and even he probably didn't even wear a mask during COVID. he's like a cockroach. He's going to be around long after we're all gone.
Still rocking
yep,
out, man.
Exactly.
See, this is why you should not have a healthy lifestyle, Cap. Yeah, don't
Keith,
do it.
Yeah, be like Keith Richards.
Yeah, Michael, I've been telling Beto here that on September 6th, I'm going to start a lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm. I started today.
You did?
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you give up today?
Nothing. I'm not going to give anything up.
I thought we were going to have a lifestyle change.
Steve Wilson came up with an interesting question today. He said, besides water, if you had to give up one thing to drink for the rest of your life and you could drink nothing else besides water, what would it be? I said it would be coffee. What would it
if
be
you had
here?
To give up one thing?
No,
you, or if
you have
only
to choose one
drink
thing.
One thing besides water, you can only drink one thing for the rest of your life and nothing else besides water. What would it be for you?
Mine's easy. Arnold Palmer.
Arnold Palmer's? I said
actually,
coffee. I got to have my
a
coffee.
Great call. A great call, Arnold Palmer.
What
about
go-to.
You, Cap? What would be your only other thing you could drink?
See, now I'm having to think about this a little bit because I don't want to say Arnold Palmer because that's what I was going to say. But
cue the UB40. Cue the UB40.
No, seriously, like
red wine.
I don't know about this.
Oh yeah, all day.
Vodka.
Wine goes with everything.
I don't know.
Yeah. Wine goes with everything.
What about
everything.
Coffee though? Coffee.
I don't need no coffee.
You don't like coffee?
I love coffee, but give me some wine. Wine in the morning. Wine at night.
What kind of wine is your favorite wine?
Red.
I know,
red.
But like, do you have like Michael's is Camus, which real
well,
quick.
Well, no, mine is Diamond and Key.
Oh, okay, that's right, that's
Clay,
right.
Clay's wine
used to be Camus.
Yeah, it used to be Camus. My number two.
My
well, you
brother.
Know what? Since
my brother,
I haven't had Clay's, give me the Camus.
Yeah. Right. Same. My brother sent me a Snapchat the other day with a picture of Camus, and it's he was at like the vineyard, and it says my baby, and I was like, oh, reminded me of you, Michael. I was like, oh, everyone's obsessed with that wine.
Have you ever had the Camus Select?
That's what it was. It was like the expensive wine.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's
I didn't pay for it, but yeah,
it's almost as good as Diamond and Key.
Never had.
So you get the Arnold Palmer, like the pre-made version of the Arnold
no,
Palmer?
No, I don't like that. Like the Arizona iced tea one.
Yeah, that's the one I usually get.
I mean, it's okay, but okay. I like it with unsweetened tea and lemonade.
99 cents,
too
do
sweet.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A does a good one with unsweetened iced tea.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Never had the Chick-fil-A.
Yep. There's right. a good.
So what were you talking about, Cap? What you
so say? I wanted to get into this whole Hard Knocks thing. Did anybody watch?
Oh, yeah, I watched it.
No.
You watched it last night, Michael?
I love it. I don't miss an episode. I love
okay.
it.
What's
okay.
What's it on?
Me too. It's on HBO.
HBO.
And, HBO. Do I have a...
Here's the thing.
Do I have,
I have HBO Max because I got it for Winning Time. So that's why I have HBO Max, and good thing I still had it, and I was paying for it for all these months, even though I've never gone back and watched it, because last night was Hard Knocks.
Cap,
Michael,
you should have told me this. I'm your partner all week. You should have said, hey... Homework. Watch Hard Knocks. That way we can have something to talk about.
Okay, do this. You got to watch
Slacker,
it.
It'll be on again tonight.
Is it on tonight? No, but we're going to dinner. We're getting drunk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Michael and I decided we're going to dinner. Forget
Michael,
these cousins.
Michael, you're going to get drunk tonight?
No, I got to go pick up my niece.
Forget the cousins. We're going. We're sending Uber Brown. We're good.
Yeah. They're never showing up.
All right, so Hard Knocks. What happened?
All right, so
who
Hard
is
Knocks.
It this year?
Okay, it's the Detroit Lions.
I know.
Really?
Yeah. It's still interesting, though.
Really?
Michael, I think this guy, Dan Campbell, who everybody will ridicule, everybody will laugh at him because he looks like a WWE wrestler. Yeah. He's like 6'6", 275.
Who's
He's
Dan ripped. Campbell?
He's the coach. Head coach of the okay. Lions. He's got these giant traps, shoulders, guns. He's ripped, right? And his entire deal is he's like a walking around motivational speech, yet hard to understand, right? Michael, they showed him at the beginning of training camp, and he just comes in hot, and I don't even know what he's talking about. I looked at the players in the room. I'm like, I don't think they know what he's talking about. Yeah.
Former tight end who's now a coach, went to Texas A&M. Yeah. He's 46 years old. All right.
He was drafted by the New York Giants. He played for the Dallas Cowboys. He played for the Lions at one point. Michael, here's all I'm saying. You ready? I love Hard Knocks, and I like to follow the teams that are on Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to follow the Detroit Lions this year because I like Dan Campbell, even though I know everybody in America is going to ridicule him. I'm rooting for Jared Goff, and I would love to see the Detroit Lions, these losers of an organization, like battle, because they're talking about is we were 3-13. We can't live with that. Let's see if they can actually do something about it. Yeah. I like Hard Knocks.
He played in Super Bowl 54.
Yeah. Hard Knocks makes you want to like I would never think about watching the Detroit Lions game, but now that they're on Hard Knocks every Sunday, I will be checking in to see how these players are faring as we're going to get to learn over the next several weeks. Because you say, oh, I want to see how this guy's doing. This guy made the team. So I'm going to be watching more Lions games. And I usually do that every year. Whoever's on Hard Knocks, I pay more closer attention to the team because we get to know them over these next month or so. And so we want to see how they're going to do once the season starts.
Yeah, I like Hard Knocks. I love the way that they turn it around so fast. Mm-hmm. Remember a couple years ago, Lindsay, for you, when they had Cleveland, the guy was living in his car?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was good. And then you see how dysfunctional their front office was. And everything else.
How about their coaching staff back then?
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, right, but it wasn't just Hugh Jackson. Remember, there's an offensive coordinator. What was his name? Todd.
Todd.
Oh, gosh. I can't remember his name. And he, like,
Todd Bowles?
No, but he was, like, totally disrespecting the coach right in front of the entire staff. And he got fired not long thereafter, as I recall.
But, I mean, has anybody ever cared about the Detroit Lions?
Not really, because they've been an inconsequential franchise for 30, 40 years, never made the Super Bowl, don't make the playoffs maybe once in 20-something years. But
besides Thanksgiving, when do we watch the Lions?
Yeah, we don't.
Well, we don't. But you know what? But speaking of the Detroit Lions.
Who's on their team?
Wait, you got to hear this story.
They had a number two pick in the draft.
One of the Detroit Lions players actually had to call Matthew Stafford to ask Matthew Stafford for permission. I can't
believe.
Well, I'm going to tell you for what coming right back. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.